Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 21st, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are in the two greatest chapters in the word of God that teaches the doctrine of grace giving. We have studied chapter 8, and we're just getting cracking on chapter 9. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Last night in our study in Zechariah, we ended by looking at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And of course, that has to do with the third and the eighth commandment on the flying scroll. And there were a lot of reversionists that were Jews living in Babylon, and they were ordered to leave Babylon by Zechariah, and to come to Judah and Jerusalem. And most of them rejected what Zechariah had to say. They were making too much money. They were in total reversionism. If they had their spiritual priorities in order, if Jesus Christ and the Word of God were number one in their lives, they would have got out of Babylon now. And some of them did. There were some that did. Most of them stayed, and most of them came under horrific divine judgment and died the sin unto death. They were lovers of money. Well, we ended with that in last night's class. Tom Gilbreth has this in his article today. I'm going to start with it tonight, since it certainly applies to the United States of America. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The Bible explicitly prophesies that these last days' mental attitudes will overflow the world. That's good news because it means that God Himself has not been caught off guard. Jesus Christ controls history. People are behaving monstrously, but He's still God. And in His Word, He repeatedly tells us not to be afraid. And the winner believer is not afraid. The loser believer is full of fear, mental attitude, sin, fear. Tells us not to be afraid. We find one of the most beautiful examples of this in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I expect with all of this that's going on in America before our eyes, that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You know who and what God is. You know His essence. You know His attributes. You know His plan, His will. You have personal love for the Father. You have impersonal love for all. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that is self-contained happiness. No matter what is going on in the world, in America, you have self-contained happiness 24/7 at all times because of your virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, two greatest chapters in the Word of God on the doctrine of grace giving. We studied chapter 8. We are in chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians 8:10 to 9:5, we have Paul's advice and his arrangements for the collection of the Corinthian believers, grace giving that they are sending to the destitute believers in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians 9:1 through 5, we have the exhortation for readiness in their soul, a mental attitude of readiness. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2, we've exegeted. It sounds like this. For indeed, concerning this grace giving to the saints in Jerusalem, it's unnecessary for me to be writing to you, for I know your readiness, your willing mental attitude of grace-giving. Which willing mental attitude of grace-giving concerning you, I take pride in telling the Macedonian believers, namely that Achaia, southern Greece, has been ready to give in grace a year ago. And your noble aspirations of grace giving has been an encouraging example to most of them. The key word in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2 is the word prothumia. Prothumia. This is the key word, and this is a central word to truly understand what grace giving is all about. Prothumia means willingness, readiness. There's no grudging. And when we get back to Zechariah, there was grudging mental attitude because they were very wealthy and they were avarice. They had avarice and they didn't want to give. So this means willingness to give, a mental attitude of readiness to give. You want to. The believers in Corinth are willing to give in grace to the believers in Jerusalem. They have readiness of mind. They're willing to cooperate. They have genuine humility. They have positive volition to Bible doctrine. They have readiness. A mental attitude of grace giving. And they are waiting for the proper instructions, and Paul will provide the proper instructions through the delegation that he is sending, Pastor Teacher Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. For I know your prothumia. I know your readiness, your willing mental attitude of grace giving. Which willing mental attitude of grace giving concerning you, I take pride in telling the Macedonian believers. For Paul right now is in Macedonia. He's either in Philippi or Thessalonica. He's probably been in both of them. And he is teaching the Macedonian believers. And these are great, great believers that have nailed down the doctrine of grace giving. They understand it better than anybody in the ancient world. And when he gets to the doctrine of grace giving, he is using the Corinthian believers as an illustration. The Corinthians are ready to give in grace. They were prepared by maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, taught by the Apostle Paul, and also taught by Pastor Teacher Titus. They are prepared to give in grace because of maximum grace orientation and maximum doctrinal orientation. In other words, they have fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. To grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were prepared to give in grace, apa perusi, which means since last year, a year ago. The offering has not been completed, but the preparation was ready a year ago. They have enough metabolized doctrine in their heart to give in grace as unto the Lord. The virtue-love function of Christians is a great encouragement to other Christians. The believers in Corinth have not yet completed the offering. For the believers in Jerusalem, they have simply demonstrated their grace mental attitude. And it was the willing mental attitude of grace giving that encouraged the Macedonians. Not the amount that they were giving. And they were giving a huge amount. But that wasn't what impressed the Macedonians. It was their willing mental attitude. You see, the amount that you give in grace is totally inconsequential. It's your mental attitude that counts. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3. We have the purpose of this advanced delegation. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3. I tell you, when you're teaching in Romans and Corinthians and Zechariah and 3 John, I got notes here. I got here. I got 2 Corinthians here, and then I got right here, I got Romans chapter 9. There you go. We're not in Romans. We're in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren. We have the post-positive conjunction de, plus the aorist active indicative of pempo, plus the accusative plural of adelphos with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction de. D-E. And it is a conjunction of contrast, and it is correctly translated, but let's get a couple of points. One, De tells us that the Apostle Paul foresees a potential point of embarrassment. This post-positive conjunction, De, tells us that the Apostle Paul foresees a potential point of embarrassment. And he's going to deal with that. Pempo is the verb here. Looks like this. P-E-M-P, long O, pempo. And pempo is the verb that means to send. And point two, Paul is sending tous adelphos, the accusative plural of adelphos, which is the word for brother. It's a technical term for the royal family of God. And this is the royal family of God who are in Corinth. Tous adelphos, the brethren, the royal family of God in Corinth. Three, Paul has sent a special delegation, including pastor-teacher Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. Four, they all three are spiritually mature believers. They totally understand the doctrine of grace giving. Five, they all have maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. Six, they all have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They all know and understand this doctrine of grace giving inside and out. So the corrected translation, but I have sent the brethren, the royal family of God, the delegation, the special delegation. And then we have in the King James, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. This is hina plus the nominative singular of kaukema with the definite article plus the genitive plural of the pronoun ego plus the article ta with huper plus the genitive plural of the pronoun personal pronoun su. Plus the aorist passive subjunctive of kenao with the negative may. plus the preposition and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos and the dative singular meros with the definite article. Well, we start out with hina plus the subjunctive. And the subjunctive is in the verb kanao. So we got H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive. And most of the time introduces a purpose clause. And it does so here. It's correctly translated in order that or for the purpose that. And then we have ta kaukema hemon. That's not very good either. So we got the definite article and then the noun kaukema, K-A-U-C-H, long E-M-A. Hemon, personal pronoun in the genitive plural, H. Long E M long O N. Ta kaukema hemon. That's actually how it looks. And that means our boasting. Here's the personal pronoun, genitive plural, our. And kaukema is the word boasting. It means our boasting or our praise. And we're going to translate it our praise. For the purpose that our praise, and then our praise, ta huper humon. And again, you have the definite article. This is the preposition huper, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. This is H-U-M long O-N. Ta huper humon. And that means about you or on behalf of you. And then we have the verb kanao with the negative me. Kanao with the negative me. K-E-N-O, long O, M, long E. Kanao with the negative me. A couple of things. One, kanao literally means to make empty. It literally means to make empty. Two, kana'o means to destroy, to render void, to make of no effect, to be falsified. So kana'o means to destroy, to render void, to make of no effect, to be falsified. Now, point three, with the negative may, and that's what is very important. With the negative may, it means should not be falsified or should not prove to be empty words. Should not be falsified or should not prove to be empty words. And then we have the prepositional phrase, ento mere tuto. And that, well, I'll put it up here so you can see it. There's the preposition en, and then the definite article and dative, to, and then mere, and then tuto, demonstrative pronoun in the dative. Now, here's the preposition. In, here's demonstrative pronoun, in this matter. Tomere. In this matter. So we translate it in this matter, or in this case, we'll translate it in this matter. But I have sent the brethren, the royal family of God, this special delegation for the purpose that our praise on behalf of you should not prove to be empty words in this matter of grace giving. But I have sent the brethren, this royal family of God, this special delegation for the purpose that our praise on behalf of you should not prove to be empty words in this matter. And then he has that, as I said, ye may be ready. This is the conjunction hina plus the adverb kathos plus the aorist active indicative of lego plus the perfect passive participle of paraskewazo plus the present active subjunctive of the to be verb eimi. Hina plus the subjunctive again introduces a purpose clause and is correctly translated so that, or in order that, correctly translated so that you may be paraskewazod. That's, so we have hina plus the subjunctive of eimi, so that, in order that, you may be paraskewazod. P-A-R-A-S-K-E-U-A-Z, long O, paraskewazo. And paraskewazo is the verb that means to be prepared, to be ready. To be prepared, to be ready. And then we have kathos, comparative adverb. K-A-T-H, long O-S. Kathos means even as or just as. And then the verb lego in the present tense. Just as I kept on saying you would be. Just as I kept on saying you would be. So the corrected translation of verse 3. But I have sent the brethren, the royal family of God, this special delegation, for the purpose that our praise on behalf of you should not prove to be empty words in this matter, the matter of grace giving, so that you may be prepared, ready, even as I kept on saying you would be. Got that? Got it? You want to get it. You don't want to look at the King James. That's a mess. But I have sent the brethren, royal family of God, this special delegation for the purpose that our praise on behalf of you should not prove to be empty words in this matter, which is grace giving. So that you may be prepared, ready, even as I kept on saying you would be. Now, in verse 4, this delegation gets the Apostle Paul off the hook. In verse 4. Lest somehow, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Oh, that wouldn't be good. Because he's been telling them all, you're ready, you've got grace giving down. Paul's been telling the Macedonians this. So now They're going to get Paul off the hook. Lest somehow, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Oh, Lordy. This is the negative may with the enclitic particle post plus the conditional particle aeon with the aorist middle subjunctive of erchomai plus the plural of the proper noun makedon plus the prepositional phrase soon plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the conjunction kai with the aorist active subjunctive of heurisko plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su, and the accusative plural of aparaskewastas. Okay, we have the negative may, and the negative may with the enclitic particle pos. We have may with the enclitic particle pos. So here's M, long E, P, long O, S. May plus pos. The negative may with the enclitic particle pos denotes a negative purpose. A negative purpose. And you would translate it, that's where the word lest comes into. Lest somehow, or lest in any way. And we're going to translate it, lest in any way. And then the conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive. E-A-N plus the subjunctive. Aeon plus the subjunctive introduces the third class condition. If any Macedonians accompany me, come with me, third class condition, maybe they will come with me, maybe they won't. The plural of the proper noun Macedon are the Macedonian believers. And then we have erchomai soon ego. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erchomai, that's the verb to come. S, the preposition soon, that's with. And this is personal pronoun ego, that's me. Come with me, literally come with me or accompany me. And then we have the verb heurisko. And we've had this verb a lot of different places in the Bible. H-E-U-R-I-S-K long O. Heurisko. Let's get a couple of points on heurisko. One, it means to come upon, to find, to discover. And, you know, this is where we get heureka is the perfect tense of heurisko. And we're a eureka in any state that has minerals like gold or silver. And so you have a city, Eureka. There's Eureka, Nevada. There's Eureka, California. Any place where there are metals, gold, silver, and in the Eureka is the perfect tense. I have found it! The gold, the silver. Well, this is the perfect of the verb heurisko, and it means to come upon, to find, to discover. Point two. Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, on page 325, tells us that when heurisko is used with an adjective, as it is in our verse, then it denotes the state of being. The state of being or the action in which someone is involved. State of being or the action in which someone is involved. Three, in our verse, the adjective that is with heirisko is aparaskevastas. Ah, that's the alpha privative. P-A-R-A-S-K-E-U-A-S-T-O-S. Ar para skewastas. You remember where we found this, saw this in another place? No, you don't, because it's a hapax legomenon, and I just tried. I'm waiting for somebody to raise their hand. Yes. Aparaskevastas is a hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this adjective is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Point four. Aparaskevastas is actually a military technical term. A military technical term. And it means to find someone not in readiness. To find someone not in readiness. Five. Aparaskevastas means not ready. See, the not is right here. The alpha privative. That's the negative. That's the not. So, aparaskevastas means not ready. Not prepared. A military technical term, not ready, not prepared. Six. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun su is you, y'all, the believers in Corinth, Corinthian believers. Seven. So heurisko here means to find you, Corinthians, not prepared in your soul for grace giving. So, heurisko with aparaskevastas means to find you Corinthian believers not prepared in your soul for grace giving. That would be a total embarrassment to the Apostle Paul. He's been telling them all how that these Corinthian believers have got it. They've learned grace giving and the doctrine. So, corrected translation, lest in any way, if any Macedonian believers come with me, accompany me, and find you not prepared in your soul for grace giving. Got that? This is great in the Greek. Lest in any way, if any Macedonian believers come with me, accompany me, and find you not prepared in your soul for grace giving. And then it says in the King James, we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Did that do your heart good? Yeah. We have a parenthesis in the middle of this. We have the aorist passive subjunctive of kataiskuno, plus the nominal plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the conjunction hina with the negative me, plus the present active indicative of lego with the nominal plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of hypostasis with the definite article, plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun hutas. Okay, we start out aorist, passive, subjunctive of the verb kat aiskuno. That's K-A-T-A-I-S-C-H-U-N, long O. Kat aiskuno. All right. Point one. Literally, kat aiskuno means to dishonor, to disgrace, to dishonor, to disgrace. That's literally. Two, kat aiskuno came to mean to put to shame, to put to shame. It came to mean to put to shame. So literally means dishonor, disgrace. Came to mean to put to shame. Three, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be put to shame, to be humiliated, to be embarrassed, to be put to shame, to be humiliated, to be embarrassed. Four, Paul is saying, if you believers in Corinth are not prepared in your soul for grace giving, that is an embarrassment for us. If you, Corinthian believers, are not prepared in your soul for grace giving, that will be an embarrassment for us. Five, the subject of the verb is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, we. And we refers to the Apostle Paul and any Macedonian believers that accompany him, that come with him. So the subject of the verb is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, we, and we refers to the Apostle Paul and any Macedonian believers that come with him, accompany him. And then we have, first we have the verb kat aiskuno, then we have a parenthesis. Very important parenthesis. We have me, lego, humes. There's the negative me again. Here's the verb lego, L-E-G, long O, and this is the plural of the personal pronoun su, and this is H-U-M-E. E-I-S. And this is we have I do not. I do not say. There's the negative. May is not lego to say. I do not say you. I do not, parenthesis, now this is in parenthesis. I do not say you. You are not the ones embarrassed here. We, well, I, the Apostle Paul and these Macedonians coming there will be the ones embarrassed. Not you. You're not in this point. So We have this special May Lego Who Mays. I do not say you. Parenthesis. I do not say you. So point six. We are the ones who would be embarrassed, Paul says, not you. We are the ones who would be embarrassed, not you. Seven. The basis of this potential embarrassment is introduced by the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of hupostasis with the demonstrative pronoun hutas. En plus the dative. N plus the dative, we translate that by. N plus the dative, by, and then we have hupostasis. H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. Hupostasis. All right. One, hupostasis means confidence, conviction, assurance. Confidence, conviction, assurance. Two, with the demonstrative pronoun hutas, you would translate this by this confident assumption. By this confident assumption. Three, Paul's confident assumption is that their grace orientation and doctrinal orientation still exists in their soul. Mental attitude, readiness for grace giving, that is still there. So Paul's confident assumption is that their maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation still exists in their soul. They have this mental attitude, readiness, willingness for grace giving. Four, therefore, Paul assumes that they still have this great mental attitude in their soul for grace giving. Paul assumes that they still have this great mental attitude in their soul for grace giving. So verse 4 in corrected translation sounds like this. Lest in any way, if any Macedonian believers come with me, accompany me, and we find you not prepared in your soul for grace giving, that we would be embarrassed by this confident assumption. I do not say you would be embarrassed. I say we would be embarrassed by this confident assumption. Parenthesis, I do not say you would be embarrassed. All right, verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. This is the postpositive conjunction un plus the aorist middle indicative of hegeomai with anonkaios, plus the aorist active optative of parakaleo, plus the accusative plural of adelphos with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction un is the inferential use of un. That's O-U-N, inferential use of un. It may be translated so, or then, or therefore. We'll translate it so, and then we have hegeomai. Hegeomai. H long E G E O M A I. Hegeomai. A couple of things on Hegeomai. Literally, this verb is the verb that means to lead. To lead or to guide. To lead or to guide. That's literally. Point two. Once again, hegeomai is a military technical term. It is also a military technical term. It is used of military commanders making a command decision. Military commanders making a command decision. Three, the Apostle Paul considers it his duty to make this command decision. And we have with this anankaios. A-N-A. Now when you have two gammas together, that's a gamma, but when you have two gutturals together, this one comes down like an N and then a K. It's just too hard to say anug-k, anug-k. Yeah, so this is N, anung, K-A-I-O-S. Anankaios. And anankaios means necessary, an objective command decision. An objective command decision. And then we have the verb parakaleo. P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E, long O, parakaleo. And parakaleo is a compound word made up of the preposition para, which means from the side of, and kaleo, to call. Compound word mean para, from the side of, and kaleo, to call. Two, therefore it literally means to call to one side. To call to one side, or to summon, or to invite. That's its literal translation. But it has many other connotations. Point three, it came to mean to appeal, to urge, to exhort, to encourage. It also came to mean to request, to implore, to appeal to entreat. And in our verse, are going to translate it to encourage, encourage. The accusative plural of Adelphos with the definite article is the brethren, the royal family of God, specifically this special delegation made up of pastor teacher Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. So I made a necessary, anankaios, I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, the royal family of God, the special delegation of Titus, Luke, and the unknown believer, that they would go before unto you. And this is hina plus the aorist middle subjunctive of pro erchomai plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural of personal pronoun su. Hina plus the subjunctive, well, you kind of, we've had it about three times now, introduces a purpose clause, so that, in order that, for the purpose that, and then pro erkomai. P-R-O-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, proerchomai. And proerchomai literally means to go forward, to advance, to proceed. And then proerchomai came to mean to go before someone, or to go on before, or to go on ahead, to go before someone, to go on before, to go on ahead. And then we have the preposition ace plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su, asu, to you. So the corrected translation then says, so I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, the special delegation, Titus, Luke, and the unknown believer, that they should go on ahead to you. Go on ahead to you. And then we have in the King James, and make up beforehand your bounty of which ye had notice before. And again, that doesn't say a lot in the King James, but this is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active subjunctive of pro katartizo, plus the perfect passive participle of pro epangelomai. So we have pro katartizo, pro epangelomai, plus the accusative singular of elogia, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. The conjunction chi is the connective chi. We translate that and. But then we get a couple of words here. The Apostle Paul is a genius. He has a huge vocabulary. Pro katartizo. That's P-R-O-K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z, long O. Prokatartizo. One. Have you found this one? Remember this one in any verse? No. You kind of get the, I'm pulling your leg. Prokatartizo is a hapax legomenon. This is the only time this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Two, prokatartizo literally means to equip ahead of time. To equip ahead of time. To prepare ahead of time. To prepare in advance. Three, it means to get ready or arrange for in advance, to arrange beforehand, to arrange something beforehand. Four, that something is pro epangelomai elogion humon. Pro epangelomai. This is a 25 center. P-R-O-E-P-A, two gammas together, first one's an N, G, E-L-L-O-M-A-I, pro-epangelomai. One, this verb is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, and both times it's by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 2, and in our verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. It also is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's not found in Greek writers before the Christian era as well. So point two, therefore, it's very likely that the Apostle Paul, in his great genius, coined this verb through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit to communicate this point of doctrine clearly. Three, proepangelomai is a compound verb made up of the preposition pro, before, and epangelomai, to promise. Compound verb made up of the preposition pro, before, and epangelomai, to promise. Four, so it literally means to promise beforehand, to promise previously. To promise beforehand, to promise previously. Five, proepangelomai is an adjectival participle. See, participles are fantastic in the Greek. It can be a verb, it can be a noun, it can be an adjective. Here it's an adjective. An adjectival participle modifying the noun eulogia. So it's an adjectival participle modifying the noun eulogia. And that's E-U-L-O-G-I-A, eulogia. And eulogia means blessing or bountiful gift. Blessing or bountiful gift. Seven. This is the Corinthian believers' bountiful grace gift promised to the believers in Jerusalem. This is the Corinthian believers' bountiful grace gift promised to the believers in Jerusalem. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun sou means your, Corinthian believers. Your previously promised bountiful grace gift. Your previously promised bountiful grace gift. So the corrected translation. So far, we haven't exegeted all of verse 5. We've done this. We've almost covered 3 verses, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, whew, that's smoking. So I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, that special delegation, Titus, Luke, and the unknown believer, that they should go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful grace gift. You got it? That isn't all of the verse, but we'll get it next week. But so I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, Titus, Luke, the unknown believer, the special delegation, that they should go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful grace gift. And we'll stop there at verse 5. I mean, I can go on. It's only 8:05. We go on to 9:05, 10:05, 11:05. You can spend the night. It's a little uncomfortable in the chairs, but we'll take it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.